Unexpected.
Unpredictable.
Unpredictable.
Inspiring.
Fringe is universal.
Fringe is daring.
Wackadoodle.
Wild.
Really amazing.
Awesome. Bear.
Camp. Terrific chaos.
Chaos. Community.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to the Minnesota Fringe Cast. I'm Rebecca Smith.
And I'm Brian Harmon.
And this is a countdown to the Minnesota Fringe Festival.
Shows open on Thursday, August 2nd, 2018.
Mark your calendars, invite your friends. It's going to be an awesome 11 days of theater, dance, storytelling, and so much more.
In the meantime, let's get together for an inside look into one of the coolest performing arts festivals ever. A place where adventurous artists and adventurous audiences connect.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Rebecca.
So I have a question.
Yeah, what's that?
So if somebody did not know what the Minnesota Fringe Festival was, they just moved here, they have no idea. Maybe they've lived here a long time, they've seen signs for it, but it's not really clicking. How would you explain it to them?
If someone didn't know what the Fringe Festival was, how would I explain it to them? It is 2 weeks of... It's a performing arts festival of... Well, wow.
The Fringe is the best 11 days of the summer.
It's just like this cornucopia of venues and talent.
Artists and forms.
And such a full human experience that you can get in such a short time spanning.
There's kids shows and there's comedy and there's drama and there's one person shows and there's musicals and there's big shows with lots of people and there's small shows with maybe one or two people. And it just is really... a chance to try and sample a lot of different things and see if live entertainment is for you.
You encounter things that, for me, have been thought-provoking that I probably wouldn't have gone to if I didn't have the freedom.
I love the creativity and innovation of fringe artists.
Unlike all other theater throughout the year, you get 60 minutes, you get 10-minute setup, you get 10-minute breakdown, and you get those 3 hours of tech. And what you do with that?
Just in a simple evening, if you hit the right shows, you literally might laugh, cry, see somebody dance, and you know, just go home buzzing.
People go to it in their shorts and sandals because it's summer, so they're wearing t-shirts, shorts, and sandals when they're standing in line to go into the shows. So it's not all dressy. You can be super casual with it.
It's a great energy, and it's a great way to see a lot of different things in one day, which is... not common.
There have been artists who I was introduced to through the Fringe. For example, one is Threads Dance Company.
You know, typically you get your tickets, you know what you're going to see. I mean,
the Cold Hearts who come into town and do Edgar Allan, seeing them at the Fringe the first time and then seeing them at the Twin Cities Horror Fest and back and forth. People and artists and performance companies who I never would have known about otherwise except for the Fringe.
We don't take a lot of risks in terms of when we spend money on art. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's an investment, right? We have only so much money, and we're going to spend it on this concert or that theater show or that movie. And it's not, let's go see what this is like. It might be awful, you know, and put our hard-earned money down for that. Here's the thing about the Fringe is,
I want to say a few years ago, it's probably been 7 or 8 years ago now, there was someone who did yo-yo tricks. And it's
yes!
Like,
that was a good show.
But you never know what you're going to expect. And I don't know that I would have said, well, you know, I'm going to pay my $10 or $12 or $15 for yo-yo tricks, but I had a pass, so why not?
That's part of it, and you can do that and experiment and be that kind of an audience member where you're like, I have no idea what this is, but I'm just going to... It'll be over in an hour, you know? And it's great.
A lot of work in the Fringe Festival is brand new. It's an experimental lab to... put something in front of an audience and see what happens.
It did surprise me. And my husband had gone to something else at that time because yo-yo tricks didn't intrigue him. And I had a much better time than he did. I can't remember what he saw, but he was really envious that he hadn't gone.
It's a chance for all of us to, experiment. For our audiences to say, hey, I'm going to go see a thing about yo-yos. Or for artists to say, hey, I'm going to reveal this scary thing about myself and I'm going to put it out there. It's a really great place for everyone to kind of grow and just play with stuff.
And it allows you to see such a wide range of work in a very short time.
I mean, I saw a show a couple years ago, The Seven Samurai, 7x7.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a one-man show, and he was a mime. A friend of mine saw it and said, Victoria, you have to see the show. Really? The description does not look like my kind of show. 5 minutes in, I was enthralled. Loved that show. Still think about that show. I've seen big musicals. I've seen the Bollywood dance on that stage. And I've seen that. And both are beautiful and equally valid and gorgeous expressions of something they want to tell. And that's the same stage, you know, Bollywood, which is... Yeah. For those who don't know, Bollywood has become a huge thing at the Fringe, where this group comes in and they do a Bollywood style show. Man, and it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's tons of people and like big dance numbers and flashy costumes, and then there's this one guy doing mime. And I look at those juxtaposition of those two shows on the same stage, even, and I'm like, I love both of them equally in different ways.
All in 1 week.
Check it out. See one show, see three shows, see six shows, see 20 shows. If you like it, if you go see a Fringe show, you can see those artists who you saw on stage an hour later at the bar and talk with them about it, and they'll be happy to talk with you about it. They'd love to talk with you about it. So we talk about buying local, you know, going to local restaurants and eating local and all that stuff. Well, why not entertain yourself locally and see local artists performing shows that they wrote themselves, show the support for their work and what they're doing. I think that's something that Fringe does a great job of. Like, it's a chance to meet the people who are members of the community and get to know them and connect with them, both the audiences and the performers. I think that's a cool, really fun, cool thing of Fringe.
So that was pretty eye-opening, don't you think?
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than I had realized before.
Well, I, for one, am really looking forward to learning more about this as we continue to put this podcast together and as we talk to more people. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well, kind of getting a sense of what the processes are, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that make any Fringe show what it is.
Yeah, me too. And I'll just say this, and we'll talk more about this in future episodes, but I'm already getting a really, well, I don't know. It's kind of a taste of just being around artists. I've been able to sit down and talk to a number of people, and not just the artists, but also the fans. And this is just like half the fun of putting this together. You know what I'm saying?
I do. It's an exciting, eclectic group of people.
And we're going to bring them to you here. We're going to try. We're going to try. And now here's something for your calendar. Brian, what do you have?
Well, we're going to be hosting a FringeCast Salon during Arterworld this year, which will take place starting tomorrow, Friday, May 18th, through Sunday, May 20th.
It's just so happens that the Fringe headquarters is smack in the middle of this massive art crawl in Northeast Minneapolis. We thought it would be nice to have a little open house at the office. You can stop in and say hello. We'll give you information about the Fringe, plus... we have a few more things planned for fun. Brian, tell us about that.
Well, we thought we would try working with people to tell some stories. You know, tell some stories that we might even be able to use for future episodes of the podcast.
I really like that idea. So on the most basic level, we're thinking like question of the day, right?
Yeah, just very simple questions that will usually provoke kind of memories from stories that people will enjoy talking about.
Like your, what was your first job or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing.
Okay.
The other thing that might be kind of fun is to try little exercises that help to generate stories.
So I like that idea because people can drop in and stay for just a little bit of time and contribute, or they might hang out a little bit longer and maybe do a more in-depth exercise if they feel like it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the plan is to make it certain people might want to come in and do something for 10 seconds. Other people might want to sit for a couple of minutes. So we might do some stuff where we collect a bunch of information from people over the course of a couple of hours. Then we might gather it all together and have a group of people use that information to invent a story, to tell a story.
Yeah, so I think it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And it's, like I said, very convenient in the middle of Art of Whirl. So as you're going around and looking at different artwork,
Come see us. Say hello. Yeah.
Yeah, come see us and say hello. Where can you find more information?
You can go to the Fringe website at minnesotafringe.org.
Yep. So it's always minnesotafringe.org. Now, let's talk a minute about Art of Whirl. It's another one of those things. If you haven't been around for a while, or maybe you've seen it, but you haven't really explored it, so it just kind of like washes over you. So let's take a little bit of time to talk about that. How would you describe it?
It's an art crawl. Northeast Minneapolis is a major area for artists where they have their studios. And for one weekend out of the year, the Northeast Minneapolis artists will open up their studios.
It's really an experience like unlike any other art experience you can have in the Twin Cities.
It's an opportunity to go into an artist's studio and actually see
original art in their own town from artists that they can meet.
Where they create art.
Open their doors and welcome the public to walk on through, or crawl is the pace.
And it's an opportunity to also see a really wide variety of work.
To purchase art directly from the artist and get stories about the art directly from the person who created it.
To buy artwork from the artist helps them make more art.
I mean, there's everything from fiber art here to jewelry to sculpture to painting and drawing.
Mixed or merged media. I do painting and add stuff to it. I do other photographs and add stuff to it. So mixed media.
There's abstract art, there's representational art, there's photography.
The reason I got started in this, one of my dogs stepped in my painting.
Artists love talking about their art. They love talking about their art.
I wanted to salvage the painting because I loved it. And I was weaving metal at the time, so I just started putting metal into my painting. So
the artists really, really want to talk about what they do.
Lots of metal, like the pearls, and then old antique fixtures from houses.
They really want to know from you, too, what your interest is in their work. People love feedback.
I want people to have an experience. I want the right people to see the right piece and really resonate with it. And bring their own stories that I don't see, which that is one of the best things that can happen. Somebody else sees something totally different and changes my viewpoint of my own painting. And that has happened. And it's really exciting.
You know, this print of Tom's with the crow, it's behind a red moon with stars in the sky. He gets so many amazing reactions from people to that because it just hits something primal with people.
Life is mainly based on visual language. When you look around, you know, there's signs everywhere. There's advertisement. There's billboards. There's the stoplights. You know, you know what these things are without needing to know the word behind it or any sort of history behind it. You can just go into something and get a feeling. And if it's a good feeling, if it's a bad feeling, you reacted to it. So everybody has that. You don't need to necessarily know anything beyond that.
Crows are like a totem animal, you know. People feel really strongly about certain things. There's that kind of common, you know, the mystery of the night sky thing. And you just get certain reactions to stuff that are really profound. And
go to the gallery and know that you're going to have a reaction.
Everybody has something that they have internally that when they see something, they react to. Music, visual arts, performing arts, any of that can bring that out. And you may be surprised.
You don't need to know particularly anything about art. You just know that you're going to respond to it.
Your life experiences create that, and it just brings it out in that moment.
It's just really special. It's not something that you can, it's not the kind of experience you would have in the poster aisle at Target I don't think.
In today's society, there is so much that is so cut and dried, and so much in education that is so cut and dried.
What is your reaction to art?
Normally, I try not to tell anyone what the paintings are about, because I don't want to influence what they see. I would rather hear what they think it's about.
And people forget that they need to use both sides of their brain to come up with creative solutions for the problems. So even if you're not interested in art, you still need to use that part of your brain where the creativity is formed.
Problem solving is us, the artists.
You buy a house, it's an empty shell, it feels kind of cold, and it's not you until you start adding personality. Part of that personality is artwork that resonates with you. Once you start doing that, it becomes a home. This is who I am. And that's why you take all of that with you when you go to a different house. You don't leave your artwork up.
The geniuses throughout history, Einstein played violin. Tesla was a musician. All of the great inventors in history practically have had that part of their brain fully activated and would use that to channel that creativity into the scientific field that they're famous for.
A lot of cities look very similar until you start adding the paintings, the murals, the sculptures, and suddenly there's character. There's something exciting for people to go out and see and experience and look at my city. Look at how beautiful it is. Here are the things that I like.
This is a dying event in a lot of areas. A lot of places where you go to see art, you kind of have to go to a festival, sometimes galleries, that kind of thing. There's not a lot of opportunities to actually come and see fresh art that somebody just made.
Oh, I see so badly that the world needs it now more than ever, especially with the schools dropping the music and the art from their programs.
It's easily dismissed because it's seen as not important.
I think one of the advantages I had growing up was going to a school where we did have art every day. We did have music every day.
Why would you get an art degree? Are you going to teach? That's one of the first questions. It's like, no, I don't want to teach. I want to create. You should probably get a real job and then do this on the side.
I had an art teacher who was like my mentor from first grade all the way through college when I was an art major, and would go ask him questions and stuff. And he taught every single kind of art you would want to learn about every day. And it was fantastic.
And those things are part of me now. And I think that I see it all the time that I've taught in schools where kids can't use the creative part of their mind to solve problems. I was teaching a group of eighth graders. They were actually going to design all of the symbols on a website. And I said to the children, okay, well, now we've got all of these different categories, shopping and all that. We came up with ideas for symbols for all of them. And I said, okay, now for religion. Now remember, we can't be one denomination and not another. We need to think about the thing that all religions have in common. And there wasn't a single kid in that class, except for the disruptor, who could come up with an idea, how do you encompass all of these religions? And I was sitting there putting my hands together like this, trying to give them a hint, and they couldn't do it because they had not had any creative training through the first 8 years of their education. The one child that the teacher of the class said, oh, look out for him, he's a troublemaker, was my best student. He hadn't been challenged with that part of his brain. And so when I finally challenged that part of his brain, he was all over it, and he came up with a great symbol for religion in general and not a specific religion.
People are afraid to ask a stupid question.
I think that people are a little shy when they're first starting to do the art crawl.
Get over that. Everyone's going to ask a stupid question.
Interact with people and ask them questions about stuff.
The question that we always get is, how long did this take? You know, which is impossible to answer. No one keeps track. I mean, people do, but I don't.
Ask them questions about what they do.
Walk in the door with a question.
Interacting with an artist doesn't mean you have to buy their work, so they're not going to feel bad if you talk to them about it and then walk out.
Ask the first question. Get that done with. Because the first question is always the hardest. And the first question could simply be, what is this about? Honestly, that's what anything. That's what gets the ball rolling. Ask anything. How long have you been in the studio? What's your favorite color? What kind of paint do you use? Anything. And maybe have one for everyone. Ask the same question everywhere and see where that leads.
Just to kind of bring it back to the Fringe, the Art of Whirl is a lot like the Fringe. Have you noticed that?
Well, there's a lot going on. There are a lot of artists who are presenting what they do, who are presenting what they love. And you get an opportunity to see a lot of it in a short time in one space. And you get to interact with people about it. You get to learn from the artists. You get to learn from one another. It's really quite extraordinary.
And now for a challenge.
A challenge?
Yes, I have a challenge.
Oh, what's that?
Here's the challenge. The challenge is, number one, go to Art of Whirl.
It's an interesting place to go if you've never been to an art crawl, especially one of this size. And it's different than one of those festivals that you'll see, like the Uptown Art Festival or something like that, where they set up all of these various booths. Here you get to go and you get to see people in the environment in which they work, in their own spaces.
Why is that exciting to you?
Well, you get to see them at home. You get to see them in their element. You get to see them in a place.
You make it sound like we're talking about wild bears. It's just like you get to see them in their natural environment. It just struck me funny just now, but it is true. That is a big selling point.
Yeah, and I think everybody's quite a bit more relaxed in that situation when you know you're in your own space and you're sharing more. And that's what makes it fun. So if you've never had an opportunity to go and see that, open your mind, open your eyes, open your ears. You'll see stuff that's really quite astounding and quite fun.
Okay, challenge number one.
Go to Art of Whirl.
Yes. So the next challenge is talk to somebody.
What do you mean?
Talk to the artist.
Oh, right.
Talk to other patrons.
Whether it be visual arts, whether it be performing arts or something like that, is people will, well, I don't know anything about that. How can I go and really talk to people or engage? Can I be talking to an artist when I don't really know anything about this? Well, that's frustrating for most artists because most artists really want their stuff to be accessible and are happy to talk to you about it and really want to include everybody in what they do. I mean, I think we've heard that over and over from people, that what we do is for everybody at some level. Now, not every piece is for everyone, but you don't have to have this big education. You don't have to know a bunch of stuff to appreciate what goes on, to appreciate a piece of art. And what the Fringe and the Art of Whirl and similar things are a celebration of that.
Whirlwind.
Creativity.
Really amazing.
Fringe is dangerous.
Daring.
Eclectic.
Fringe
fun.
Is eclectic.
Well, that's it for this episode, my dear.
Thanks to everyone who contributed to this episode.
Yeah, that was really nice of you. Thank you so much for taking the time, including artists that we met at the St. Paul Art Crawl. If you want more Fringe in your life, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter, The Minnesota Fringe File. You can find it on the website at minnesotafringe.org. That's minnesotafringe.org. Until next time, please take care of yourself. Signing off.
Amen.